When my wife and I, we were expecting our first child, we took choosing a name very seriously, as probably many of you did as well. I don't know anybody that just thought of the first thing that popped into their minds, but you know, it's a process. And we didn't know if our baby was going to be a girl or a boy, so we would choose a boy name and a girl name. And you know, we like to keep it all hush hush until the baby's born and all of that. And you know, we've shared it before. We had some struggles with our first pregnancy and some scary times and moments through that. And well, inevitably, you know, the name of our eldest child is Grace. Grace Elise. And we chose that name not just because we enjoyed that name and liked it, but we experienced the grace of God in some amazing ways through that time. Through the period of being, you know, being told that our child may have birth defects, and you know, the whole question, do you want to keep the pregnancy, came up. You know, it's earth-shattering to think that that kind of question would even be asked, but it is in doctors' offices today. And so you face those kinds of things, and we experience the grace of God as He guided us through the hoops and the challenges and helped us to the point where, in our case, by God's grace, He gave us a healthy little baby girl. And again, that's the grace of God. Because that doesn't happen in everybody's situation, in everybody's case. And God is a gracious God, and it's His grace, and He chooses that grace for each of us in our lives. And His grace is always right. It's infinite, and it's truly good. It's a blessing. You know, our lives need to be built upon the grace of God. You and I, we face battles in life. We face challenges. And as we're going to look at in our time in the Word today, we're going to feel like we're always fighting against the flesh, the world, the devil. We're always in a battle. And that is true. Or we're going to feel like we're always striving and just keep pushing on till we get to the end, till we get to the finish line. Inevitably, the finish line just, it seems like it just keeps moving. Or maybe we feel like that farmer, that every day there's always more work to do. There's always more fields to plow, more crops to plant, more cows to milk. And we feel like that day in and day out. How do we keep going? How do we make it through? How do we, like the Apostle Paul said, I finish my course. I have fought a good fight. Well, then Paul gives us some instructions in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And please turn there this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we trace the grace of God through life, and understanding it's a solid platform. As we face the battles of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1, where it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds. But the word of God is not bound. In this passage, we see the Apostle Paul addressing Timothy. This is his last recorded letter that we have. He's writing to Timothy, who is a younger man in the faith, a man that it seems as if Apostle Paul was instrumental in this young man coming to faith in Christ. This is a tender letter because it is very personal from Paul to Timothy. It is also a very forceful letter because it is full of instructions on how Timothy and inevitably believers are to live in a challenging time, in a challenging world. As you see in this passage that we read today, it begins with grace. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're here today and if you claim to be a Christian, claim to be a believer, then you should know something about the saving grace of God. You should know and you realize that your life as a believer began by the saving grace that comes through Jesus Christ. You know and you realize that you didn't bring anything to the table. You were a sinner, you were dead in trespasses and sin. But it was the grace of God that was at work and drew you to Himself, wherein you have experienced incredible, incredible grace as you realize you are a part of God's family and have a future in heaven for sure. Well, yes, our Christian life begins with the saving grace of God. But let's realize that the grace of God is bigger than just at the moment of salvation, but it's for every moment of life. You see, it's not only saving grace, but it's strong grace. He says to Timothy, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, with that instruction, we can make the safe assumption that it is possible to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? It is a strong grace. It is a grace that is able to deliver strength to you and to me. Do we need grace? Do you need grace? Do you need God's grace in your life? We read about some illustrations that he used. We're going to talk more about them, but think about the illustrations he used. He talked about the soldier. He talked about the athlete. He talks about the farmer. You know, we're going to see ourselves in those illustrations here in a bit. But at the outset, grace must be the platform upon which we stand. It needs to be the path upon which we walk. If you want to look at it as it's the lifeblood for you as a Christian, it's the grace of God. So we see this grace, it's saving and it's strong. But now we understand the motivation and purpose behind us even needing grace. Because let's face it, we are saved by God's grace. Why doesn't He just take us home? Just take us home, God. You've done your saving work. Our place is in heaven. Our home is with you. Take us home. But He doesn't, does He? He doesn't. And we know from the Gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ, right before He left earth, He gave the commission. He gave the command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us a purpose for our existence on this earth, and He has given us His grace to be able to do it. Here, in a way, is Paul taking Jesus' commission and planting it in Timothy's heart. And he plants it in your heart today, in mine, where he says, in the things you've heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that you may be able to, that they may be able to teach others also. Well, here, Timothy, you're a young pastor, you're a pastor of a church, you have a lot of responsibilities, and God's commission is for you to not just sit back and let things happen, but rather you are to be actively involved in the lives of people. What are you to be doing? You're to be teaching. You're to be ministering. You're to be declaring and sharing God's truth and planting it, putting it in the hearts and lives of people. And you're to be doing that in such a way that it is transferable, that it is able to be multiplied. You realize, don't you, that there is strategy, God designed strategy here for us as a church to embrace. The strategy of, as God has given us the grace to live for Him, the strategy then is to share God's message and God's truth and put it into the hearts and lives of faithful people. Faithful people who will do the same. Who will do the same. Who will put it into others who will do the same. And the strategy is multiplication as we see God's truth and God's word multiplied across the world. We live in some exciting days as you consider God's message as it has gone out across the world, and the list of unknown people groups and languages is diminishing, getting smaller and smaller. And we have mission organizations that are out there translating the scriptures and putting it into the hands of people. It's an exciting time as we see God's word being multiplied, as we see faithful individuals being grown up in Christ all across the world. I've had the opportunity to rub shoulders with some of them as I've been able to travel across the world a few times. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to see how God is at work in those places. Yeah, Christianity is not an American thing. You're not naive enough to believe that, are you? It all began in Israel. It all began there in the Middle East. And by God's grace, you and I have received it here. So we have the grace as that platform upon which we stand. We have the message, the truth, that is our motivation to be here, to live on this earth, to be faithful, to apply this grace in our lives because we daily need it, because of God's call upon your life and my life. I need the grace of God. And so then we have some illustrations that Paul seeks to help us, help Timothy, to understand and apply this grace and the fact that he is thrust into this ministry, apply it in his life. Practical insights, right perspectives. We first begin with the illustration of a soldier. I dare say that most of us here have probably rubbed shoulders and talked with a soldier. A man or a woman who has walked in battle, who has fought, whether it be a grandparent, a neighbor, father, brother, sister. You know, you realize, don't you, after just a few moments of conversation about battle and about war, that you realize it's not something they like to talk about. I remember as a young man, I am still very proud of my grandfather. But as a young man, I was so proud that he was in war and he went to battle and he fought. And I would talk to him and I'd tell me about battle. Tell me about war. And my dear grandfather, it was tears. He would just resort to tears and he would not tell me. He would not tell me. And as long, and my little boy heart longed to experience the glories of war, but in effect, they're not there. Well, the Apostle Paul, of course, growing up in Roman times, and war, soldiers being around, battle was difficult and times were tough. And he says, thou therefore, and that therefore is there for a reason, because it ties what he's saying to what has already come. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right, here's reality. Life is hard. Yeah? Yeah, it is. Life is hard. Timothy, life is hard. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier. I want you to realize that in this illustration, it's not about winning a battle. It's not about winning the battle. It's about being a good soldier. You know you can be a good soldier and still be on the losing side, don't you? You look at this next verse where it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to ask you something. Do you feel like you're in a battle? Do you feel as if there is a battle raging in your soul, in your life right now? Do you feel as if you are always brandishing the sword and battling and fighting? You know, the soldier in the midst of a battle, he needs something to motivate him and to push him on. He needs a reason to go there. He needs a reason to go for it. And the Apostle Paul here in this context promotes this motivating factor. Believer, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that you may please your general. So here I tell you that God's message for you today as you battle, let your perspective be this: I want to please my Jesus. I will fight, and I will fight for my God because I want to please Him. I want to please my Jesus. And this battle is hard, and there's a lot going on. The world, the flesh, the devil are all at me and at my throat. What do I do to keep standing? I have God's grace. And in His grace, I know I must please my Jesus. So therefore, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. So you're a soldier. So you're in battle. Ephesians 6 tells us we're always in a battle. And it's not flesh and blood. It's in the spiritual realm. Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, what's it mean to be a good soldier? You are pleasing your Jesus. Are you pleasing Jesus? I don't need to ask you if you're in a battle today, because I know you are. Now, you all may be in different battles. The battles may be severe right now, or maybe there's a lull. But we're all in battle. That's the reality of what it means to be a Christian. Because God has planted us in a world that is not our home. And so we're in battle. What do we do? How do we keep going? God's given us His grace. We stand upon His grace, and we look to Jesus, and we say, that's why I keep going. I want to please Him. I want to please my Jesus. I want to please my general. So he gives that illustration to Timothy. Please Jesus. Well, then he goes and he says this in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, in this verse, we see the word repeated, strive. See this word strive repeated. The picture is of a race course. The picture is of an athlete who is striving with all of his energy to reach the finish line. So here's the question for you and for me. Do you feel like the Christian life is just all about just constant striving? It feels like there's always this constant pull to give more, to do more, to accomplish more, and it's just that constant striving forward, and like I said before, that finish line is just out there, and it's just constant striving. I do. I feel that way. As a Christian, it's like our heart, our pulse is always high. It's like there's always something out there to do, always someone to talk to, always something to share with someone. What is the motivation to keep on striving? If a man also strive for what? Masteries. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Here's the motivation. The motivation is not only to please Jesus, but to experience his reward. The Bible speaks of reward. You see, the temptation as we strive in this Christian life is to take shortcuts. We'll try to do things our way for a time because we think we might have a better idea or see life differently. And Timothy, no. Yes, you are to be striving. God has given us this message that we need to be declaring. The world needs to know about Christ. You need to be building into faithful men who are building into others. Absolutely. You've got to endure hardness. This is a hard time. These are battles. Please, Jesus. You're going to feel like you're always striving. You know what? Yes, you will be striving, but you are striving for eternal reward. Do it God's way. When you strive, stay within the boundaries of God's, of my law, of God's course that he has set. Do it lawfully. Stay in those boundaries. And remember, you do it for an eternal reward. Life is hard. You and I, we need God's grace. And God's grace is that he has called us to please Jesus, to please him, and to look for the eternal rewards. Thirdly, we see this, a farmer. I don't know about you, but every farmer I know is a hard worker. That's just the nature of the occupation, isn't it? I dare say that we in our culture, when we say the word or think of the word farmer, hardworking goes right behind it. We just automatically put those things together. Agriculture was certainly a part of Paul's day. Now they would have had probably much smaller types of farms and doing it on smaller scales, but farming was a huge part of life in the Roman Empire. slavery ran a lot of those farms. And the slaves would be called upon to do whatever the master called them to do. So Paul directs Timothy with this illustration. The husbandman, or the farmer, the one who toils the land and tends to the land, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, as we read that, we can make these observations. Well, he's talking about a farmer. He's talking about laboring. And that word laboring is the idea of working hard to weariness. Working hard to weariness. Laboring must be the first partaker of the fruits. What are the fruits? That is the harvest. That is what is brought in after all of that hard work in the planting, the plowing. And so what we see here is he's calling out to Timothy to have this perspective. Life is hard. Endure hardness. Strive. And work. Work hard. Let us not have the misconception that Christianity is designed by God to be easy, because it is not. It is not a cakewalk to be a Christian. And if you have that thought in your mind, it must be eradicated. Because you will never accomplish things for God if you just think life is a cakewalk as a Christian. God has called us to be a diligent, hard-working farmer. And here is the incredible perspective. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You see, the fruits of God's fields, of God's work, is that of souls being saved. You see, may our motivation be that God might reap a great harvest, and my hard work, may God use it by His grace to be a part of it. You see, life, we need the grace of God. We need to stand upon that platform. He's given us a message to declare. Life is battle. We feel like it's a battle all the time. And that's true. It's the reality. We are to endure hardness. Endure it. What's the motivation? Why? Please Jesus. Please Him. If you wonder why you are to do this thing or that thing, do it to please Jesus. Do it to please Him. If you're weary and tired as a Christian and this constant striving that you feel God is putting in your life, you just, God, again? More? Another person? If you feel like that's that constant striving, remember, this life is not for here and now, but it's for the eternal rewards of the future. Jesus gives us a little example of that when He tells that story of the talents. And when the men who took right care of their talents and used them and then they multiplied, remember what He said? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What an incredible future there is. But life is hard. But God has called us to strive. There are eternal rewards. Notice the perspective changes here. I mean, as we labor on this earth, we see things here and now and temporal. God wants us to get our gaze up into the heavens. Because you know what? Our general's not here on this earth, is he? As much as we may look to men or people or even pastors, no. It may Jesus be pleased by my life. I fight for you, my Lord. I fight for you. As we're running that race, that finish line is not the deadline or the date or the event or the conversation, but no, that finish line is eternity, where the rewards are given for faithful service, and they're given by Jesus Christ the judge. Jesus Christ the judge. Where we're on this earth and the fields are many, there are many people to minister to, where there's always work to be done. And like many farmers maybe feel, didn't I already plow that part? Didn't I already plant there? And the fields go on and on and on and on, but may we have this perspective. The fields are God's fields, and we work for Him, and may He reap a great harvest. May He reap incredible fruit. I need to keep on going. I need to keep working hard. And you know what? I trust that this truth will be an encouragement and motivation for you to keep on in the battle, to keep striving in the race, to keep working in your fields. Keep on doing it, believer. Keep on doing that, church. Keep on doing that, pastor. The days are wearying, aren't they? There are times when you would rather not be plowing. But it's not about me. It's about the grace of God. And may we not selfishly hold on to this grace, but may this grace be seen and understood by others around us. He says, consider what I say. Consider what I say. And the Lord give the understanding in these things. That's my prayer for you. Consider it. Think about it. How does God seek to apply these truths in your life? Maybe you connected well with one of these illustrations. The soldier, the farmer, the athlete. Maybe you feel like you're always fighting in battles. Maybe you just need to focus on the fact, who am I pleasing? Who am I pleasing, really? Am I trying to please me? Am I trying to please him, her, them? Or am I trying to please my Jesus? Who am I striving for? What am I striving for? Am I striving for power, fame, prestige, position? Am I striving to be known as the best one at that? Or am I striving, you know what? I'm striving for the faithful rewards of my Savior. What are you working for? So many of you work so hard, and you work hard for the Lord. Why are you working? Let me help you. Work hard that our God might reap a great harvest. Work hard for Him. Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He talked about the grace that was through Christ Jesus. And then he reminds Timothy again, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. I suffer trouble even as an evildoer. I'm in prison like I'm a criminal, he says. But the word of God is not bound. I'm continually amazed at the blessings of this incredible word of God. What a blessing it is to know the richness of these truths. You and I, we're not alone on this earth. God has given us incredible instructions and advice and help for us to live. But again, may the ribbon of God's grace be weaved in every crevice of your life. Because I dare say, You need His grace to be a good soldier. You need it. You need His grace to keep striving hard for Him. You need His grace to keep on working and keep plowing those fields. You need His grace. So make sure today your feet are planted on the grace of God. Yeah, it saves you, but it's going to sustain you and keep you because it's strong. Believer, church, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God, I'm so grateful for these truths, and thank You for sharing it with us today. God, there is so much more that could be said, so much more that could be better said than what I have said it today, but Lord, I ask that You would take what has been said and use it as You see fit. Use Your word. Use these scriptures. May Your people be considering these things in their hearts and minds today. I pray that this would be an encouragement as we launch into a new year, that this would be a strength as we proceed through the battles and through the strivings and through the plowing and of the fields. Thank You for the eternal perspective. I need that, God. I need that. I'm so glad for that. Because so many days it just seems so, so hard. But God, thank You for the reminder. I live for You, and You've given me Your grace to do what You want me to do. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.